The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Good morning. Good to have all of you here, including you guests. If you were here last week, you know that the title of our message was Experiencing God at a Deeper Level. It was a New Year's message about this year. I entitled that Part 1. And so, if you'll please turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11, starting in verse 8, and Hebrews 8 through 12. Now, also, go to Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. We'll be going to that area of Scripture as well, if we could stand. Hebrews 11, starting verse 8, speaking of Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By verse 9, by faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builders and maker is none other than who? Amen. Again, I put forth last week a New Year's challenge in that we would have a desire, that every believer would have a desire this year to experience God at a deeper level. Why would I say this year? Turn on TV, doesn't matter which news station, grab the paper. There are pastors I've heard on the radio, I've listened to. David Jeremiah recently has been speaking about the politics of the day. You know, what's going on in America, what's going on in the world in light of end times. I think that you just have to almost be an ostrich not to know that there's stuff going on, the end times. I mean, God is at the door with the door open. It's only by His grace that we're in overtime. He doesn't want anyone to miss the rapture, to miss Him, not anyone. And He has such a great heart for us, His creation, His children. And so at this point in time, in the 21st century, in this church, I feel that the challenge today for all believers should be that they would desire a deeper experience with God this year. One that they would truly say, I have looked upon the face of God. I have been in His Word, and He has dealt greatly with me. I have looked into His Word, and He has spoken things in my life that I never would have believed before. You see, His Word, there is no end to His Word. It's a long road. There is no end to that road in His Word. You can go as deep as you want. You'll never get to the end of it until we get to heaven and see Him as He is. You know that, amen? It's just like every year, I had a person years and years and years ago come up to me and say, you know, I really don't need to come to church anymore because, you know, I know the Word. You know, and I'm like, wow, let me get away from you. Because, look, there is no end to His Word. You know why that is? Because first of all, it was written by God. Second of all, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Second of all, we change, don't we? Don't we change from day to day, year to year? I mean, if you don't believe that, get the album out, the family album. Whoa. And so we change, and so the Word changes us. We change in the Word. God continues where we're at in life. And each of us is at a different level. That's why, you know, when you point your finger, you go, you need to shape up and get right with God. Well, you got three fingers pointing back at you. You know, you need to shape up and get right with God, you know, because everyone's at their different level. I have to repent to my wife all the time when I tell her, you need to get with God, you know, especially when she doesn't want to do something that I want to do. Like, watch football all day. She doesn't understand that's from God. She needs to know that. And she's ungodly when she tells me I watch too much football. Ungodly. You don't tell my wife that. And so we all of us All of us. I say this to say that when someone says, look, I've gone deep enough with God, I know it all. Boy, you know, you're wrong. We all need to go deeper with God, especially when we see Him on the horizon. Amen? And so, that's why this topical was taught. Well, last week in part one, we established that you can go as a Christian. You can go as deep as a snorkeler. You can be a Christian snorkeler. You know, you go out and you see the little fishies, and you got your little mask and the little thing that goes up, the plastic thing, you know. You can be a Christian snorkeler. There's nothing wrong with that. You're still a Christian. You're still saved. You're a Christian snorkeler. Or, you know what? You can be a deep sea diver. A deep sea diver. You know those guys, the deep sea divers, it cost them a little more. They have to go to classes. They have to be certified, don't they? You go down though deep and you see things that the snorkelers never see. Same with the Christians. They go deep with God. A snorkeler, you know, just see the surface. They stay at the surface, where a deep sea diver, oh wow, you know, they see all kinds of cool things. And so we can go deep. And when those waves come in, when those storms come in, we don't film so much. We're deep with God. You see all kinds of neat stuff. God reveals it to us when we go deep as a deep sea. Now, if you desire to do that, these aren't the only three ways. But for my message, I was looking here weeks ago and reading. I just thought, man, this is pretty cool. And then I think they're essential. Number one thing that we said last week, if you want to go deeper, experience God in a deeper level this year, it will require having to leave the world system of philosophical principles, priorities, and values. We spoke about that last week, didn't we? It's clear. That's the very first thing we have to do, is separate ourselves from the world's principles, priorities, and values. Last week we said, look, the one that's given this the world these values and principles and priorities in all kinds of things, in marriages, in our dating that we do, singles, in our money, how we do our money, and all the rest of the stuff, what we watch, how we talk, everything is simulated by the world system. That, by the way, we proved last week by Scripture, Satan is above all that. He owns it. He owns the world right now. And he's got this world system of values and priorities. And I think you guys can understand that. I think you just turn on the news, you turn on TV. Oh, my goodness. What's TV look like? The shows that you watch on TV. The things they introduce on TV. I don't think, look, when they bring a show on and there's actually someone married and had children and they're not cheating on each other, it's like an anomaly. Because it's usually they're, you know, divorcing, having affairs, whatever it is. And it's okay to do that, folks, in this world. You've got to have two or three other people on the side, or you're just not living the American dream. It's horrible. Billy Graham was quoted by saying, if Jesus doesn't come soon, God will have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and give them a public apology, which is so true today. And so all these priorities they have and all these values and principles. Now, as we made it clear last week, very crystal clear, that this has nothing to do with salvation. Nothing at all. This has everything to do if you desire to experience God at a deeper level. You might not. You might go, oh, I'm good. I like surfing. I like snorkeling. It's all right. I read my Bible. I take my Bible and I dust it off on Sundays and I come. And I come out once a month, and the rest of the time I don't know much about it. But hey, I'm a Christian born to heaven. That's you. I'm not going to say that's okay, but you're not going to hell. You're a Christian. You're saved. But you don't have much depth in Christ. You're starving the Holy Spirit that's living in you. That's not a good thing. Not a good thing. And so, to learn more about what Jesus, Paul, James, and others in the Bible taught us about this topic. So last week we determined if you want to experience God at a deeper level, we must leave something. There must be a leaving of something. We said the world. Maybe the leaving of many things. It might be a relationship that you're involved with that's not very godly. It might be a partnership that you're involved with that's unholy. It might be several things that you might leave. You might need to leave the bars down there that you have good friends in called Cheers that you hang out with. You might need to leave that. I don't know what it is. But the number one thing that we need to do is take a look, and we need to leave the world system. Now, after February the 7th, I'm leaving football for a while. Now, most of those people are laughing at men because they know Super Bowl's the last game of the season is on the 7th. But there's something that we all probably need to leave that we might come closer to God, especially this world order thing that's connected, married to, a part of the philosophical belief of this world system. Again, get the CD. Now, let's look at verse 9 this morning. Verse 9 says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise. And so, look, he hasn't got the promise yet. But now he's left the world system. He's in the promise of God, but he's not actually living in Canaan yet, or the land of promise. As in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Number 2, if you want to experience God at a deeper level, we must live our lives as pilgrims. We must live our lives as pilgrims. Gang, did you get that? Pilgrims. I can remember years ago in high school they used to call you a pilgrim, but it meant something different than it does now. We must live our lives as if we're just passing through. No hookups. No, you know, sink a hole deep that you might stay here. We must live our lives as we're just passing through. It says Abraham left his mansions, all of his toys. Remember last week we proved he was a very wealthy man. Left all his toys, left his mansion, his high-performance chariots, guys. He left his friends, in which he was, by the way, well-known and revered, respected, and admired. But now he's a stranger in a foreign country, dwelling in a tent with his servants and his wife, Sarah. A tent. Wow, can you imagine that? He leaves this, I don't know, 20-bedroom house, mansion, with indoor plumbing, by the way, back in hot water back in those days. This is in the Old Testament, by the way, in Ur of the Chaldees. He leaves. His wife leaves. And he takes all his servants. And like the Beverly Hillbillies, if you can imagine, they had all their stuff, you know, on wagons drawn with oxen or whatever. All their stuff. And there they go. And he doesn't even know where he's going. Now let's pause. Let's take a reflection. A Selah. You know, that just means pause and reflect. Let's do this just for a second. What do you think? Okay, here's Abraham. I've heard from God. I'm taking off. Load the wagons. I don't care who has my house. Anyone can have my house and my chariots. But I'm taking all my stuff inside and great big tents and my servants, and we're out of here with Sarah. Remember, they do not have Isaac or Ishmael yet. And Jacob. This is futuristic when we speak about here in the scriptures. And so they're off and going. Ladies, what do you think Sarah's thinking? If I was in Sarah's spot? Are you kidding me, Abraham? Okay, I can dig this, but where are we going? Huh? We're just going. Can you imagine her talking to her servants? Her maidservants? My husband's lost his mind. We need a doctor in the house. We're just going. I don't even know where we're going. We're just going. Amazing to me. Wow. As we reflect on Sarah and change our focus just a bit, on Mrs. Abraham, in 12, if you read Genesis 12 for your homework, wow. It's amazing what happened there. It just is. And look, here's the thing. It doesn't say that she was upset. It doesn't say that she bucked Abraham. Why is that? How do you know? Because in the Old Testament, they told it all. It was every bit of it. Now, the New Testament, not so much. But when you're in the Old Testament, if you messed up, buddy, it was going to be right there for eternity. But we don't see anything like that. Well, ladies, how's this play out in your life? Here you marry a man. He's good looking. He's hard working. And in years, a couple years, he becomes very wealthy. He's a compassionate man. As I said, good looking. And he's not only loves you, whatever you want, you get. I want the latest this. I want the latest that. You get it. He gets it for you. He loves you. He's a hard worker. He's good looking. You've got it all. No doubt you're in all the social events of that day because your husband, Abraham, oh, he's a big dog. He's a big hitter on campus. So you're in all the social events. Everyone knows you. You're the head of 14 Bible studies. You're just the woman of the year last year. It was on, like, you know, the Ur of Chaldeans magazines. The woman of the year. And you are highly esteemed among all the women in your town. Great husband, great family, great friends, lots of servants, great life. Even indoor plumbing and hot showers that others didn't have. But wait, hold the phone, stop the train. What's this? Your husband's lost his mind because he told you he had a call from God to leave everything and start a walk, a work, and a ministry. And where? Now, guys, I tell you this as well. Check it out. When I was called, guess who else was called? Why? Because we're one. Is that not true? Isn't that what Jesus says? He says we are one. And so if you think, I've seen this happen many times. I got the call. I'm going out and start a church. I'm going to do this ministry, and that ministry. And the wife is like going to another church. There's something wrong with that picture. Help me out here. And she doesn't want anything to do with it? Then maybe, just maybe, you've been eating the wrong pizza at night. But you have to make sure that your wife is on the same page, that she's called as well. Sarah knew that she was called as well. Fidel Gomez is a very good friend of mine, a pastor in Fort Lauderdale and Calvary Chapel. And I can remember him struggling with this, and he's just wanting to go out and start something in Sunrise. He's just wanting to do it. He's praying with me, and we're really good friends. And so we prayed a lot about this. I said, well, Fidel, go, man. I'll go with you. I am sure the pastor of Fort Lauderdale will send people out. That's just the way we roll. And it's like, no, why not? Because Teresa's not ready. His wife. What? Really? No. So what? You know what we did? We start praying about Teresa. Just praying about Teresa. God, show Teresa. God, talk to Teresa's heart. Lord, did you know about a month later, he's in his office. I go in and see him. He's all happy. He's packing. I'm like, where are you going? What's going on? He goes, Teresa said yes. She came to him one night and said, honey, the Lord's spoken to me where to go. Where are you called? You see, he didn't want to go by himself. He needed his wife. It's the same with Sarah. And so, ladies, men, I hope that helps you guys. Now, I don't know if you're being called by God. You might be being called by God to do a Bible study in your living room. You might be called by God just to love your wife more. Right, ladies? Yeah. You're all for that, right? You might be called by God to whatever it is. A new experiencing God deeper this year. And if you are, you need to get with the one that is the one, that you are one, and share it with her. Now, I must say this. Even though we are called, you see, the only difference is that there's different responsibilities because our wives are called as well. So Sarah was obedient to the call of God as well and changed from a mansion dweller to a tent dweller. Truly a woman after God's heart, recorded in our word for all time. Well, back to our lesson. If you want to experience God at a greater, a new level, you have to hear on this earth. You have to live on this earth as you're just passing through. And may I be so bold to echo Jesus and in the Gospels and the Apostles' Epistles to say, if you want to experience this year God in a whole new level, a whole new revelation, you have to live on this planet in a tent as a foreigner. Now, of course, you know, I'm not speaking figuratively. But, gang, the mistake we make is, well, we forget that this ain't our place. We forget that this just ain't our place to settle our roots. It ain't it. We're just passing through here. But we forget, don't we? I know we forget. I forget. In fact, many times we value this stuff, our possessions, the relationships, career, future dreams, even the perfect church. We value those things. I believe with all my heart there's some that put church over God. The church is a religion. You know that, don't you? It's not in a church. It's in a person. Church is just kind of how we are the church. We gather together for the person, Jesus, the Christ. In fact, many times, we bring this to a whole new level. We value these careers and future dreams and as if it's the only thing, as if it's everything in our life. As a result, if we can't have those things, or the Bible calls them vapors, I like that. But I want a brand new Lexus, or fill in the blank. But God says it's a vapor. You know what I'm talking about, right? This life is a vapor. It's just a vapor. We value these vapors, man. It's unbelievable. These things, these vapors that we fall into so easily. All these different relationships and values of the world as Christians. And then we fall into depression. And then we give up and just want to die. Or as Christians, it looks like we're dining on green persimmons. Green persimmons. You ever had a green persimmon? Eat one sometime. See what happens. Yeah. You. And that's what we Christians look like we're doing. Because we didn't get what we want. Because we're putting our values in the wrong place. It looks like we just are dining on green persimmons. Gang, what is wrong with us, the church? We are kids of the King, headed for an eternal kingdom. Why don't we act like it to the world? It awaits us. It's there for sure. But now we're to live as foreigners, passing through. Speaking about the perfect church, it seems nowadays the attitude is, what can the church do for me? You know this is the attitude. How can I come in and be taken care of? How can I come and be have a new experience? How can I come and say, what can you do for me? Remember, Pastor, I put money in the plate. I'm paying for your salary. You better tantalize me. You better really get up and make me feel woozy and woozy. What can you do for me? Entertaining me. It's called the consumer mentality attitude. And that's what it is nowadays. Let's do dramas. Let's do this. Let's cut the word down just to 20 minutes, 15 minutes, and the rest of the time we can wow them. And I want to be wowed, Pastor. If I'm not wowed, I'm out of here. I'm looking for another church. I'm going to shop for another church. The New Testament church didn't shop, did they? Instead of the biblical truth in what and how can I help the body of Christ. That's the thing. That's biblical. When you walk into a church, any church, the very first thing in your mind is not, well, it should be, do they teach the Word of God? The second thing should be is, how can I help this church? How can I pray for this church? Is there anything in this church that I can help with? That should be our mentality instead of the consumer mentality that is so prevalent today. Well, my grandfather, a short story, was a pastor. I think he was a Baptist pastor. And he not only is also a coal miner. And, you know, in those days, you just weren't a pastor. You did other jobs, too, outside the church. I have no problem with that. My grandfather has no problem with that. And so he did. And he gave land to the church. He built the church. Him and some other fellows built the church. And but let me tell you this. My father told me this story. Grandpa was also a circuit preacher. And he'd get on his mule and he'd go from the hills of Tennessee. And he'd go from town to town in the holler up on the ridge. And he would teach in churches. And as he would go through the churches, he'd find the church that really was not so healthy. He looked for the unhealthy church. And then when he found an unhealthy church, he'd get all his 9 kids together and his wife, and they would get on the mule in the wagon, and they would go up to that church for a period of several months. Why? To help them out. To get them healthy. Because they needed help. And that was the attitude of our Lord. That was his whole thing, our Jesus. Man, that was his whole thing. It's what? Come for what? The healthy? No? Yes? Help? No. He came for the sick, and my grandfather had it. Nowadays, people, they come to a church and it's not very healthy, or there's not very many people, or there's not a lot of stuff going on. They're like, oh, later, I'm out of here. You don't have a banging youth thing. You have a Sunday school that's got all kinds of different latest technology. No, I'm going somewhere else. That's not biblical, gang. Too many times we look at church as something that you can do for me instead of what I can do for you, the body of Christ. Now notice with me, Abraham is living in the promised land. No, not yet. But he's headed there. As we are, however, he's not received the fullness of that promise, has he? Like us. We're living in the promised land. Not yet, but we will be, but we're headed there. It hasn't been fulfilled to us yet. Verse 10 tells us Abraham waited. You see, gang, he's in the vicinity of the promised land. Notice with me in 10. He says he waited for the city, which was his foundations. He waited on the promised land. He wasn't there yet. He was in the vicinity of the promised land, but it's yet to be fulfilled. But he did not forget it, did he? No, he didn't forget it. He spoke about it much to his kids when they were born, and also to his wife and servants. So, folks, why do we forget we are just passing through here, that we are strangers? Well, it's been said a fugitive is one that is running from home. A vagabond is one that has no home. A wanderer is one that is looking for a home. A sojourner or stranger is one that is far from home. And a pilgrim is one that is on his way home. So we're sojourners. We're strangers in this land. As we get closer to going home, we become pilgrims. We become pilgrims. And I think we're all pilgrims right now because we're all close to going home. I just think the rapture is around the corner. It could be today, it could be next week, it could be 5 years from now. But look, it's close. Look at the times. Jesus himself, oh, you don't know the time or place. No, but I sure know the season. Jesus said we could know the season. I know when it gets cold, the leaves, it's getting to be summer, or winter rather. And you know spring when you start sneezing and the grass starts growing and you get your lawnmower out and test it out. You know it's spring. He's close. He's close. We all, I believe, are pilgrims. That we are on our way home. So gang, we're sojourners. We're strangers, and we're definitely pilgrims. We're just passing through here, headed for home. Whenever I attend a pastor's conference or a men's conference, and many of you guys have gone to the men's conference there in Lexington, right? Amen? Awesome time. Go up there for a day or two. I bring a suitcase, and I usually don't have my wife with me. And I bring a suitcase. Now, maybe you're different from me, but when I show up in the hotel room, I don't open my suitcase, take all my things out, iron them, hang them up. I don't take all my shirts and fold them neatly and put them in the chest of drawers. See, I don't do that. Why don't I do that? Because you see, I'm not there for very long. Actually, you know what I do? I live out of my suitcase for a day. Now, if my wife was there, she'd have them all hung up and pressed, and you know how wives are. But for me, it's in the suitcase. I'm not there. for very long. I don't put my socks in the drawer even. I leave them in the suitcase. It's usually down on the floor somewhere. Why? Because, well, you know, I'm just there for a short time. I'm living out of my suitcase. So too for us, gang. Some of us forget, figuratively speaking, of course. We are to be living out of a suitcase right now, figuratively speaking. Because this ain't our home. Amen? Now, gang, let me also be clear in light of what I just said here, what I just taught about believers, us being believers, going home to heaven, and all the rest. I need to be crystal clear about something. Unless you have yet to give your life to Jesus, and I don't know, everyone in here might be saved, maybe not. But if you yet to give your life to Jesus, this old earth world system is as good as it gets for you. This life that you deal with, worry about. The finances that seemingly are always worrisome. Relationships that need constant maintenance. And you know relationships need maintenance, amen? Yeah. Drugging and drinking, carousing, employment, or lack of. Not to mention keeping up with the Kardashians. No, Kardashians, sorry. I mean, wow! Gang, that's as good as it gets because after that, it's all downhill. And I mean that, literally. All downhill. If you reject God's provision for salvation. But you know what? You know what? Jesus said this. Whoever, and by the way, in the original, do you know what whoever means? Whoever. It means whoever. Whatsoever. Whosoever. Comes to me, Jesus said, I will never drive them away. You see, guys, it doesn't matter what has happened in your life at all. Jesus will forgive you, love you, give you peace, grace, and mercy if you ask him to. And ask him to be your savior and walk into your heart. It's free. But you've got to ask him to take control of your life. That requires a surrendering. And that there lies the problem. Many of us that don't know Christ have such a pride that we'll be willing to go to hell to prove it. And by the way, hell is not a place where your buddies sit around, drink, and play poker. Okay? It's awful. Another lesson for another time. Because, gang, if you drop anchor in this world, if the concrete of your life goes deep in the foundations of this world, this paganistic world, Jesus says you have become friends of this world system. We talked about that last week, scripturally. Friends of this world system, and you have aligned yourself with the principles, priorities, and philosophy of this world. In fact, if it's what you live for, if it's everything to you, my friend, you have been hoodwinked. You've been stolen. You've been taken, sold down the river. And when the owner of this world system, Satan himself, is done with you, you will find yourself empty, void, alone, and ultimately destroyed. But Christian, let me speak to you this morning. Because you might be sitting here this morning going, well, wait, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I might be a snorkeler, but man, I'm in trouble. It's rough. When I wake up in the morning and I look at myself in the mirror after being scared to death, it's a joke. When I look in the mirror, I go, whoa, oh, that's me. It seems like the bottom has fallen out. When you wake up and your attitude is disgusting, you're discouraged, angry, disappointed in life, lonely, and hopeless. Do yourself a favor. Look in the mirror. And say to yourself, things are tough, really tough, but I'm going to heaven because I trust Jesus. I put my trust in Jesus. You see, just because you're a believer doesn't mean that you've got a golden road to walk down on. It's still tough. It's rough. Things we do, things that our God allows, that Satan's sifting us, all kinds of stuff in our lives. Trials. You see, you need to tell yourself, this isn't it for me. You see, gang, heaven is just not a destination for us. Heaven should be an inspiration for us. Not a destination, but an inspiration. But so many Christians walk around again thinking that, especially those that maybe are having trouble in life. And we walk around and we just go, well, I'll get to heaven one day. No, it's an inspiration here on earth that Abraham, that here, that the word of God in Hebrews says that Abraham knew and he was waiting on that foundation. He was waiting on heaven. That waiting in the Greek means every day thinking about. Every day. As bad as our checkbooks are, our spouses, our kids, our life is, I have this inspiration. This isn't it for me. One day, yes, one day, this is going to be over one day, and we will be in the presence of the Lord forever. I believe that. No more pain, sadness, aggravation, no more toil, broken hearts in heaven. No more doctors in heaven. Wait a minute. I didn't mean, you know, if you're a doctor, you're still, if you believe in Jesus and you're a doctor, you're going to heaven. Lawyers? No, I'm just kidding. No, just kidding. I guarantee you there's some dentists not going. What's up with that? I have problems with dentists. You ever heard, I'm getting off here, but you ever, like, they do this? You'll just feel a pinch. Yeah, You'll feel a pinch. You know, it's just like, dentist, whoa. I'm sure they'll be in heaven if they believe in Christ as well. But let me speak to you, Christian. You need to know, no matter what you go through, there's heaven. It needs to be an inspiration. It needs to be an inspiration. No more pain. None of that. No sadness. No more toil. So, in order to go deeper with our Lord, we must live in this world like we're just passing through. Amen? Now let's look at verse 10 and we will close with this. Let's read verse 10 very quickly. It says, and again, referring to waiting, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Wow. It's an awesome, inspirational scripture there. If you're going to experience God in a deeper level, not only are you to, number one, leave the world behind, not only are you to, number two, live like you just are passing through this world, but also, number three, you're going to have to keep looking to eternity every day. Keep looking up. Keep reminding yourself. Keep looking up. And not just not that. Just not reminding yourself. Let's go deeper. Are we going to go deeper? Are we just kidding ourselves? Let's go deeper. In that, this year, guess what I'm doing? In every component of my life. In fact, continue to compare everything in my life with heaven. Everything. I'm going to keep looking up. Everything in my life I'm going to compare to heaven. Every penny I spend, well, not every penny, but you know what I'm talking about. My money, my relationships, my idle time especially, after the seventh. Okay, God, after February, let me make a deal with you, Lord. You know, but really, what do you do with your idle time? I love watching Fox News, CNN, but you know what? This year, my idle time is going to be in the Word of God. It's going to be in books that talk about the Word of God. It's going to be in commentaries. It's going to be searching for Him, His face, much, much more. Because in the light of heaven, what else does this other stuff prove? Nothing. I'm going to compare everything we have on this earth with heaven. The good, the bad, and your husband. Oh, I'm kidding. Remember good, bad, and the what? No, just kidding. In fact, yes, comparing this stuff on earth in light of everything that awaits you and me in heaven. That's what we should do. Look at Hebrews 11:24 with me. Speaking of Moses, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Man, it sounds like what I just spoke about. And speaking of Moses, so Moses looked at the riches of Egypt, and gang, you can believe Egypt had some riches. Amen? They had riches. And then Moses looked at heaven and what it would provide. In 26, he said this, I'm looking forward. I'm not looking for here and there. I'm looking forward. I have a forward way of looking. a futuristic way of looking. And so what I'm going to do, Moses? Moses said, what I'm going to do? My constitution? In my economy? He gave up stuff on this earth to gain 100,000-fold more, or even more, in heaven. That was his view. His constitution, his economy for him and his family. Gang, likewise, if you're going to experience God in a new and deeper level, in a new and deeper way, you're going to have to keep looking to eternity. Every day, our prayer should be, God, let me connect with you every day, that you would remind me that one day I will be with you and I will have no regrets. That's what we need to do every day. Lord, I'm going to remind me that about heaven, because we get caught up in all kinds of stuff, jobs, kids, the norm, and just say, Lord, remind me of heaven. Remind me of heaven, because one day I'll have to stand before you and give you account of everything I've done in my life, or at least everything I've done with Jesus in my life. And so, Lord, please, remind me of heaven, that I might do everything on this earth in light of heaven. That every day our prayer should be that, because I know we're going to be with you. And every day connecting with our future, heaven. Connecting with our future, heaven. We do that here on earth. We connect with our future all the time. If you have stocks, you have bonds, they sit you down and they go, well, in the year 3016, you might make a few bucks. But we do connect. But why can't we connect with the future in heaven? We should, as believers. I heard a story about a pro baseball player. His number was 44. His name, Reggie Jackson. Do you remember his nickname, anyone? Mr. what? Mr. October. Why is that? Well, he shined in October, which was, by the way, the time that the pennant championship race was being held, and, of course, the World Series. He would hit 2 and 3 home runs during October, during those times, during the playoffs. It was incredible. Year after year, every October. Well, one sports writer asked him one time, why is it that every October, Reggie, you come to life? How is it that you shine so bright in October? His answer was this, folks. Because when the season begins the first week of April, and I go up to bat in the first game, do you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking October. I'm thinking October. Gang, when you wake up in the morning, think heaven. First thing on your mind, think heaven. It'll change your whole outlook of the day. Think about heaven. It's not something that is a cartoon, Star Wars. It's real. It's for us. Think Jesus, man. Think eternity. Think of your inheritance that 1 Peter chapter 1 says is waiting for you, that's being kept for you, being stored up for you by God himself. It doesn't spoil, fade, or perish. It's only for you. And check this out. You won't have to share it with anyone either. It's just yours. I imagine a big, huge angel standing over my inheritance going, get away! Get away! This is for Pastor Ben. Wow! Your inheritance. I can't believe that God thinks that I'm his inheritance. Are you kidding me? I might be a thorn in his side, but inheritance? But that's what we have in heaven. God says that 1 Peter tells us we have an inheritance, an amazing inheritance. When we realize that, when we know that, when we wake up with that on our minds, gang, it's then that we will say, what was I worried about? What was I thinking? Being so consumed with these temporary riches. My pride, my self-esteem, my narcissistic ways. All the rest that this world system has to offer and demands that we live by. Let's be different. Let's be like Jesus. Let's be a rebel. Can we be a rebel? Can we be sold out for God? Can we like go, whoa, that guy over there, he's a Jesus freak. He doesn't look like a freak. He didn't talk like a freak. He's just all about Jesus. He talks about Jesus everywhere he goes. He's speaking to people about his Lord and what's going on and a testimony and what God's done in his life all the time. You know what? It's kind of rubbing off on me. That should be our legacy. We don't have much time left. Gang, we have to keep looking forward. So this year, let's experience God at a deeper level. By leaving this world system, live like you're just passing through and keep looking up. Keep looking to heaven. Now, if there's someone here that's never asked Christ in their hearts, then this is what we call the invitation. So right now, you homies, you guys that love Jesus, be praying right now. There might be someone here that doesn't know Christ. And they're just standing there and they're sitting there going, wow, they kind of got a rock and roll worship thing going on. They got this crazy pastor up there talking about heaven. I'm going to listen to this. And there might be someone here in your hearts that they're just contemplating why I'm here. It's not by happenstance. It's a divine appointment by God. God wants to take control of your life because you know we can't. He's a gentleman, though. He won't make you. He asks you. It's your decision. We all have decisions. He's not going to throw you the concrete, pin your arm behind your back. You know, he's not going to bring your grandmother to the room and let her terrorize you about hell. The Holy Spirit's knocking on your heart. You might not know him. He's asking you to come in, asking you if he could take control of your heart, God of the universe, to love you. Let me just say, there's no price either. It's free. Just say yes to Jesus, lover of your soul. Question, aren't you tired of chasing that dream? Aren't you tired of chasing after whatever? Chasing this, that, and the other? Fame, fortune, the next high maybe? Or relationships? Look, redemption and love, peace and grace is not found in the church. It's not found in this church building. It's not found in religion. I don't like religion. It's not in an organization. It's found in a person, folks. Who say amen to that? In a person. It's found only in Jesus the Christ. But it's your choice. It's your choice to say yes. And he comes at your level. He comes knocking now.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know him more.